Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of The Fighting Priests. I'm Father Ted Paraskevopoulos, and with me is Father Thomas Sandberg up in Niverville, Manitoba. Father, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
I'm okay. Trying to keep my head in the game, as this episode is called. You know, trying to keep my mind focused and, you know, just trying to do everything at the church here. And also trying to do a little bit of training at home. And I don't know, how are you doing? I think by now in Manitoba, the gyms are opening, right? The jiu-jitsu clubs?
Yep. That and the church. So slowly, there's something to do with schools. My nieces and nephews, they have to go to school now or something, or have meetings with the teacher. So people are out and about.
Have you had a chance to go train at all at a club?
No, not yet. I haven't gone. I've been just letting the first week go to, like, I'm not like a member of any club here. So it's like I let all the members go and then I'll just go train wherever.
Sure.
With my friend Randall's club. So I've been in contact with him because he's a gym owner to see, and he's my friend. So I want to see how it's going, what's the plan. Every time there's new updates, I'd text him. Like, oh, because they were saying we've had brief contact. It's really, the guidelines are strange to follow. Even I believed when we first got them for phase two at St. Demetrius, they were like, they wanted more information about how we should do everything in the church. It's different for me because, like, politically, not to get into politics, but I'm a libertarian, right? So basically, if I'm sitting around, from my point of view, right, I would be like, the government says we can do this, then we're going to do it. And I'm not going to ask the government any questions. I want as little government input as possible. But I went on the website, the government of Manitoba website, and looked at all the stuff, like for the restaurants and gyms, everything that was professional sports teams, what they were allowed to do and everything. And a lot of it's super, super vague. Like, it's not, like, even one weekend when the main doctor in Manitoba, when they changed their course and they said, we're not saying stay home, we're saying stay safe. But he wouldn't answer the question about, okay, does that mean you can go see your grandma now or not? Mm-hmm. So obviously me, I've been seeing my grandma. My grandma lives in the same area as I do. I can just walk there. She lives on her own, but she lives in a kind of like a, it's like an apartment building, a one-story apartment for old people, I guess, for the elderly. There's like healthcare that comes in, and she has COPD. And so recently she answered the phone from the healthcare worker. She says, oh, I have a cough. So automatically they can't come in now.
I see. Right?
Well, who's supposed to bathe her? Who's like, this is ridiculous. She always coughs. She has COPD, and she hasn't been anywhere. And this is, I didn't go see her, but after that, there's no choice. So it's like, eventually you have to make some decisions on your own if the government's not going to give you the best
guidelines. Yeah. It's frustrating for everybody. And here, at least in Manitoba, things are opening up and, you know, there's less cases and it's a little bit more, I guess, relaxed. Whereas in here in Toronto, things are still pretty, pretty tight. So by the time this episode airs, we're probably going to be into July. And so we're hoping that some of the clubs would have opened. As of now, we're recording at the beginning of June and nothing's open right now. Although some public areas are opening. The churches have not opened yet, unfortunately. Yours are open now. So ours have not opened yet and there's no word. So I'm hoping that by this time, the time that the episode airs, which will be a month from now, more than a month from now, the churches will be open. So that's what we're hoping for and praying for so that we can get back to some type of normality. Because this episode today, speaking a little bit about BJJ and mental health, managing your mental health and the benefits of not just martial arts, you know, in general, the martial art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but also generally, you know, physical activity and being healthy and having some type of outlet, how important it is. how important it is to kind of, and especially now with this lockdown, this kind of 3 months going on, 4 months, the whole world, and people being cooped up inside and how that affects them and how important it is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to today's conversation. I was looking at this topic, Father Thomas, is that, you know, for me, 2019 was a difficult year in the sense that it was very high stress as an Orthodox priest. You know, we all have high stress, especially when we have mid-sized to larger parishes. A lot of demands are upon us, and that can, it can get away from you. If you don't know how to have proper work-life balance, if you don't know how to take care of yourself, then things can kind of spiral out of control. And that's why a lot of our priests can get to the point where they get sick, they get mentally sick, they get physically sick, they get overweight, they get hypertension, they get diabetes, they get high blood pressure, you name it. You know, clergy, generally speaking, suffer from these things in much higher rates than the average human being. And this is, of course, probably just a byproduct of the, you know, the kind of the lifestyle that we live. And I'm no different. Now, keep in mind, I was one of the lucky ones in the sense that I haven't developed any kind of serious physical ailments, or I would like to think not even serious mental ailments, but I did find in myself back in the fall of 2019 that I was getting really burned out. I was getting to the point where I didn't have that balance that I was seeking. Physically, I wasn't in a great shape. I was feeling tired all the time, not sleeping well, exhausted, and also saying yes to too many things and not being able to have enough time for my own family, my children, my wife, and things like that. And so I had to like basically take drastic steps to kind of curb that type of behavior and to find a little bit more balance. And one of the big solutions in my life has been Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I started it in November of 2019, and I've been going since then. And it was one of the main impetus to kind of like get my life in order, and it put me kind of in a rhythm. So, you know, my son joined up for jiu-jitsu. I joined up for jiu-jitsu. We started going twice a week. Then it became three times a week. That got slotted into our schedule, and it was also, you know, father and son time, which was really, really good. It was mentally good. It was, you know, good from a family point of view, but it was also good physically and emotionally. And so I started carving out that time, and that also kind of started feeding into eating better, being healthier, being more active, drinking more water, taking, you know, sleeping better, resting better, because I was working out. So that was making me sleep better. And just dedicating that time. So, you know, jiu-jitsu really kind of has helped me, greatly helped me in finding more balance in my life, and taking that time that I have to take to be able to take time for myself and my family. And it's also given me something to do with my son, and also something to do with the rest of my family, because the rest of my family also participates and comes and watches George and myself sometimes, and also the other kids are getting interested in it as well. So, you know, it was a big wake-up call for me, and it was a big change, and I would never go back. I have to say, I'm much more clear-headed, much more balanced now, and it's brought balance to my life. So I don't know if you can identify with that as well in your life. I know you're not a full-time parish priest yet. You just got ordained. You're just finishing seminary. But I don't know if you find that jiu-jitsu gives you that type of life balance that it's been giving me.
It does. It's kind of like I mentioned, I think I mentioned episode one or two or something like that. It's like if you're a faithful Orthodox Christian, and depending what parish you go to, like not a lot of parishes do Vespers. So if they're not doing Vespers, you're only going to church on Sunday. So you have 6 days where you could fall into any type of not necessarily good situation, especially depending on the type of person you are, your disposition, or the type of person you are if you were a convert before the church. Right, it's like if you're at a monastery, you have all these, everything's regimented. You have this rhythm of life that the full liturgical cycle, right? The daily, the weekly, and then all the festivals throughout the year, the feast days of the year. But as a layperson, especially in North America, where the churches, even though they're full time, they're not like doing services all the time like they do in Greece. like there'd be no one there, right? Because the church is funded by people who work, so people need to work. Whereas in Greece, it's state funded, so I guess it's still funded by people who need to work, but in a much not a direct way as it is at the parish level in North America. But for me, I don't know. I think it just keeps you. There's all those benefits that go along with it, obviously, for health. And it's weird. There's this like a hashtag you can see sometimes, like Jiu-Jitsu saved my life. People say this a lot. And some people definitely did. If you see pictures of them, the weight they were, or maybe they were abusing drugs or and drinking too much, stuff like that. You can see it's, it'll rein all that stuff in because you can't do both of those things. You can be big, but you're going to lose some weight and you're going to be healthy, but you can't be abusing drugs and drinking heavy and all that type of thing if you're training even a little bit.
Yeah, you won't be able to keep up. Like I've dropped 30 pounds since November, and I'm still dropping, right? But like it's a big change to your body. Mm-hmm. And you can't keep up. You can't keep up with the regimen, with just doing the physical, you know, actions without having to change. So you're either going to drop out or you're going to change. And that's what I'm about. It forces you into, you know, if you're going to do it, it's going to have a positive effect on all aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's like, it's important to have healthy habits, I guess, like healthy ways that you spend your time. It's what I say to people too, when it comes to like, cause I love ancient Greeks. What I tell people, it's like, what do you do with your time, right? Let's say you go to work. You have time in the morning, you have time in the evening, time at night. A lot of people who don't exercise, they spend their time watching television, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, maybe if you watched one less show, you could study an ancient language. If you put half an hour to 2 hours every day studying liturgical Greek, if you go to a Greek Orthodox church, or if you go to a different Orthodox church, but you want to read the scriptures in the original language or read the fathers in the original language, if you just allocate your time doing something different, then you're going to get different results than like it's a given. And especially if you're predisposed to unhealthy eating or poor diet, poor sleep, other poor lifestyle choices, as soon as you do something positive that requires more energy, something's going to have to give. You only have so much that you can give of yourself or dedicate yourself to.
I would say that I agree. And also, you know, the saying that, you know, idle hands, the devil's playground.
Yeah. When
people have nothing to do, they usually find something bad to do. And that's true. I find that, you know, a busy person usually stays out of trouble, right? Work keeps you out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And so when you have like a schedule of, let's say you're doing jiu-jitsu or you're training, any other type of training, really, that keeps you in some type of rhythm in your life that is healthy. So I found that, I'm contrasting that even now when we're in lockdown, right? So the lockdown has been positive in the sense that more time with the family, more time kind of to yourself, but it's been negative because I can't train. And so you lose that. It's hard to kind of keep that rhythm, right? When I was doing the jiu-jitsu, it was awesome. You know, you wake up in the morning, you have a regimen, right? You have to, you know, take certain vitamins because you need to have your energy, right? You need to like, you know, drink a protein shake because you need to have energy for the day. And if I don't have that, I'm going to be run down. So it forces me to do it. So I get up in the morning and I do that. And, you know, and then, you know, take my kids to school and go to work. And like, you know, I'm more efficient because I'm more alert and I'm dropping weight and I feel better and I'm not lethargic, right? And then of course I'm trying to eat right because I don't want to feel lethargic because I know I'm going to go train at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Or 12 o'clock and I'm going to feel sick and I won't be able to roll with my partners, right? Cause I'll feel sick. So, you know, I'll eat well. And then that kind of forces me to kind of, you know, go pick up the kids and go home. And then George has jiu-jitsu and then I'm going to go to the club. Right. And so by the time we finish all that, I don't have time to sit around and do nothing. Right. I don't have time to go and binge watch, you know, Netflix at this season, you know, which now we do because we're in lockdown. That's not good. Like I'm still doing reading. I'm still doing church things, but you know, I find that I am watching more TV now that I'm in lockdown, which is not good. Yeah. It's good for some shows that are awesome, but you know, but it's not good physically, right? It's more sedentary and you're sitting down. So I found that I had less time just to be idle because I just had such a much more rigorous, you know, if my son was training three times a week, I was training three times a week, sometimes four. not always on the same night. So that's a lot of, you know, evenings and things like that. Plus all my church work, plus teaching at the seminary, plus doing this, plus doing that. You know, it's good to be that kind of busy because we're family busy as well. And it keeps you like in a good regimen. And that regiment is kind of gone right now, and that's not good. And I find that kind of I've lost a little bit of momentum there. So yeah, it's when people have nothing to do with their time, they're just gonna they're gonna gravitate towards the laziest thing you can do.
Yeah, that's something to be careful of. It's like, especially me, I'm a big craft beer fan, so it's like you got to be careful with what you're spending your time doing because you can't like, oh, you can drink three beers today because you're not right. But for me, it's different. I still run, still lift, I lift kettlebells. So it's like lifting kettlebells is not easy. I worked today, I ran, yesterday I did kettlebells and I went up in weight and I was like, and I work in the basement. I like it that I always try to mimic the heat. Like when I run outside, I try and run when it's hot. When I cut the grass when it's like in the afternoon, when it's like 30 degrees out here. And anything I do, I try always mimic, and because I don't like being hot when I train. So it's like anything I can add to.
Force yourself to be comfortable with it.
Yeah. So it's like I'm lifting this kettlebell and it's like I went up in weight and I have like this artificial fireplace. So I have the heat on with the air conditioning vents closed. And it's just like, oh man, not comfortable. And you're just thinking, why do you do that? Like when you know there's like you're halfway through, it's like, oh. But that's the way I get too when I'm really hot in a gi. I'm one of those guys that don't like the gi, and I just hate working out in this cotton outfit. And it's like you're so hot, and it just messes with your head. It's that same type of thing. But it's good because I've been in that situation before as a white belt when I've been in the tournament, and that same mental you want to quit. It's kind of hot, uncomfortable, all that stuff. And it's weird how when things are unimportant, your mind can still occupy the forefront of your thoughts in the same way as if it was important.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, and also having something to look forward to also affects your mental health. Like, you know, when you have specific goals, and they're goals that are attainable, and they're also exciting, like you're enjoying them. So it's the same thing in the church. Like when we have a goal, we're doing something. Like, you know, I'm gonna write a sermon for this weekend, right? Okay, I look forward to that because I rather like writing sermons, so that it gives me a sense of accomplishment when I finish it. It's not a drag. It's not like, oh, I gotta write this sermon. Or we're recording this podcast. Well, I rather enjoy recording podcasts with you. You know, we get to spend some time together, at least from a distance. And, you know, it's, you know, I rather enjoy editing them afterwards. So there's another kind of thing to look forward to, right? You know, and I'm going to go train the next day, and that's something to look forward to. So, you know, looking forward to things and being able to kind of achieve them is big part of like mental health. You know, this idea of, you know, having accomplishments, little ones every day, as opposed to kind of like people who have no direction in their lives or have little direction, and they have, you know, big goals about life, but there's no kind of like concrete steps to achieve them. Like there's no little goals in the interim. So it's kind of like, you know, you hear people say, oh, you know, one day I want to do this or one day I want to do that, but there's no actual plan to do it. And it's daunting because the end goal seems so big, and then you just get depressed because you can't do it. So you end up doing what? Gravitate to eating, drinking, watch TV, right? It's like a vicious cycle with people. And so
yeah, people have that too with people who either dropped out of school and they want to get their GED. There's people you'll meet, you have your friends, there's some of your friends who will get their GED and some who won't. And then you have the other group who are like, oh, maybe they didn't drop out of high school, maybe they finished high school and they're like, I'm gonna take a year off from university, and they never go, and but they want to. It's different if you don't want to go, if you right, you already know what you want to do. But if you don't want to go, taking that time off, there's that lull. It can be bad. Next thing you know, you're doing, especially if you don't work after you finish high school, that little first summer.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that they can fall back on.
Yep. Yeah. Some people it works well, but most people it doesn't. They need that kind of momentum to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know, jiu-jitsu has really kind of provided that momentum, at least for me personally. And integrating my family into it has also helps, right? So it's not something I just do on my own. It's something that the more people you get involved, it's like a family event, and that's healthier. Mm-hmm. I think you said, you know, I know Ashley, your wife, doesn't officially train like, you know, at a club, but you guys
She did before, and then she stopped. She's a busy social worker.
Yeah.
Now just trains here.
Yeah, but you do it together, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's better than just doing something on your own. Mm-hmm. The community is everything.
Yeah, that's one of the big things too. That's one thing you're seeing now. Something like Tom DeBlas is posting a lot about it. Excuse me. He's talking about mental health, like people who actually have mental health issues, and they use training as an outlet in some way. Like, I don't know anything about that, but I'm reading about it, and you can imagine. And there's just people who jiu-jitsu has such a profound effect on their life, weight-wise, because the way you weigh. Never mind, I'm not even going to get into the self, the way you look at yourself, but just the physiological changes that go with hormonal changes, that go to mood changes, all come from becoming healthier. That all comes from, there's a bunch of people I know who this has happened to. They've lost. It's funny when you meet people, especially with different clubs, and you meet someone and you see people like this who are like, yeah, jiu-jitsu literally changed my life. And you see pictures of them before jiu-jitsu and they're like pre-diabetic and they're like, whoa, that was you? I met a handful of people who were there like in really bad state and they were young and then they started jiu-jitsu and they're like totally different people.
Yep.
So I can imagine like that could be challenging now. And then there's the more, I don't know, jovial side, the more joking side with the memes. Before training, after training, and like you're athletic in your gi, and then it's like cartoon stuff, and then you're like stretching out your gi after. So it's like, it's all the choices you make now. I think that's why it's important for me, especially, I guess, because it's such a, it feels like it's my lifestyle. I've just been doing this for like almost a decade. So it's, I don't know, it doesn't, maybe because I already, even this time off, it doesn't feel like I'm not doing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always, especially now that UFC is back on and I watch those fights, and even little things. I like the technical aspects of things, right? So even Justin Gaethje and Trevor Whitman, their corner talk in the last title fight, I love listening to that stuff. And Justin Gaethje got from the UFC the full corner talk. You only see bits of it when the cameras turn. And so to hear, I love that type of stuff, the technical stuff like that. And it reminds me when I was maybe a white or a blue belt, my friend Mile, he was saying to get good at jiu-jitsu, you need to study it, right? It's like at school, right? If you went to university, let's say you're learning ancient Greek and you only went to class and you did nothing out of class, you're not going to learn ancient Greek, no, especially not an ancient language. No way. You have to do study on your own time.
Sure. Even this podcast, I don't know if we would ever have started this podcast if it wasn't for the lockdown. Because I don't know if we would ever had the time to kind of, you know, it was something that, like, it's definitely type of therapy, you know, just to be able to talk about it and talk about, you know, our love for it, and also, you know, just training and how it relates to our faith. But I don't know, it's something that I was thinking about even before the lockdown, but I don't know if I would have had time to kind of put it together and for us to sit down and brainstorm. You were studying at the seminary and plus, you know, serving on the weekends and things like that. And I'm doing everything and with our schedules, I don't know if we would have time to kind of be able to record these episodes. I'd like to think that we'll continue after the lockdown is done, because now we have a kind of a rhythm, but it's been a positive in the sense that it fills a void. Like it kind of, you know, you're learning, like we mentioned a few episodes ago, that in addition to reading, you know, and, you know, online videos, online training courses for jiu-jitsu. You know, yeah, I've been eating that stuff up because it's mental knowledge. Of course, it's not the same as rolling with people and, you know, kind of putting that stuff into practice, but it's something, right? It keeps your mind, you know, within that kind of, you know, frame of mind. I just said mind, but
yeah, I think it's important. It's when I was a lower belt, I read this concept. I think it's called neural mirroring. So it's like, I think whether you're doing something or whether you're watching, like you're watching instructional, I guess, whatever part of the brain it is, it's activating the same. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, obviously, when you're actually doing it, there's probably other parts of the brain that are activated as well. But I think the main section, it mimics the same thing, because you always meet people like that who can learn. I think Jorge Masvidal said it. He said it once, like, he's not the guy who's going to drill a move 1,000 times. People do that. I'm going to drill this so many times. He's like, he'll do it three times. I got it. And there's some people who can't do that. So it's people learn different ways.
Sure.
Yeah. Watching videos can help. Some people don't like watching videos, but when there's nothing else to do, you gotta watch something.
Sure.
I think also watching, it's different too. If you're watching like instructionals versus breakdowns of things, breakdowns are different, obviously more technical. I like that stuff. I think it's very good. And you learn a lot that way as well.
Yeah. Definitely. I always say it's the first half of my class. Cause you know, mm-hmm. classes are always like, you know, the instructor shows the technique, right? And then you break and you go and you practice, like practically, right? That's usually how most classes work. And then you roll at the end, right? Or the second half of the class. So I always say it's like, well, it's the first half. You know, I'm watching the technique. I'm trying to take it in. I'm trying to kind of assimilate the information. Of course, it's difficult. I can't put into practice. Like, how can my actual body do this? Sometimes mm-hmm. we have mechanical problems, right? You're a bigger guy, smaller guy, heavier, lighter. And you find that out when you put into practice, when you're rolling with somebody or when you're actually practicing with a partner. But at least you have the 50% of it, you know, the mental aspect. And, you know, I'm trying to remember these things. Obviously, you won't be able to remember everything because, of course, muscle memory, your body actually doing it helps you remember. So it is kind of handicapping us in that way. But it is something, and I agree with you. It's still keeping your mind in this idea of training. So, for example, I mentioned earlier that our instructor, Joel Gershon, you know, he's doing Zoom classes, right? I am not one to do I can't practically do it either. Like, my son does his class. He's usually earlier in the day, like 5 o'clock. And then the adult class, because, you know, Joel's got like multiple kids classes, right? He's got like the munchkins and the juniors and the junior advanced and teens. So he's doing a lot of hours of Zoom classes all in a row because he doesn't have the other instructors doing it. It's just all him. So, you know, by the time he gets to the adult class, it's like 8 o'clock at night, right? 8 to like 9:15, usually we're doing class. I still log in. I watch them. Like, a lot of people have a setup in their house or in their basement and they're doing, like, maybe they'll have a jiu-jitsu dummy to work out with, or they'll have a partner and they'll do it. I can't do that practically in my apartment because my apartment's so small with like three kids and you have to move out the whole living room just so I can, like, so George can train, my little one. And then I got to put everything back because then when the adults are training, it's bedtime for the kids, right? So I can't monopolize the little space that we have just for me. Yeah. And also, I don't have anybody to train with, so it's very hard to kind of, there's no stuffed dummy that's big enough for me. So, you know, I can't physically do it, but I still log in, I still follow the classes, I still watch the technique just so I can kind of, my mind can be there, right? And I can, and also it's the regiment, right? Like three times a week, you know, you're logging in, you're watching, like, so you're still keeping up some type of like self-discipline. Right? Like, just like you have to have the discipline to go to, you know, you want to go to the gym three times a week or four times a week and you have a regiment and you carve out that time. It's also important to carve out the time even virtually because it's the act of carving out that time that's important. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm going to dedicate this time. Like, I have a little list of on my phone of like daily tasks that I want to do, right? It's like, and they're menial things like, you know, wake up, you know, make a shake, do my kids' homework with them, you know, their online homework, right? Try to get a run in. And there's a block there that says, do some type of jiu-jitsu training, right? Whether it be watching a video or there's a live class happening, whatever, but try to do something jiu-jitsu related every single day.
Yeah.
I want to keep my mind sharp in that area, right? So, and I don't always succeed. There are days where we go out and we do other things and I don't get to it, but at least 3-4 times a week, for sure. For sure. To keep that mental kind of discipline going. So kind of wrapping up, you know, we hope that by the time this episode airs, we'll be back. My club is here where I live. I know yours, Father Thomas, you know, you're a little bit far away because, like you mentioned, you're not a member at the Winnipeg clubs anymore. Your team and your club is the Jiu Jitsu for Life team is here at Toronto BJJ. So you don't know when you're actually going to physically get back here. But I was just thinking, you know, just mentally, it's going to be really nice the next time I actually get to go in and see everybody, like physically just participate with people again, you know, like the physical contact and roll with people. I think it might be emotional being off for like 4 months and like not seeing people and at least not physically seeing people. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of the way it was when I first was in seminary before I kind of officially became part of the Toronto, the BJJ for Life team when I was a pro belt. And coming back to Winnipeg and seeing people like that, but then eventually you're spending more time in Toronto and you're training. And since then as well, in Winnipeg, a lot of things have gone on. Some of the jiu-jitsu clubs, the club I belong to no longer exists in name. So it's some guys have gone their own way with different associations. Another friend of mine started his own club with no association. So it's, it really feels like it's like, I can't wait to see my guys in Toronto again. And then we have a chat group, a little WhatsApp group or some of them, where we bug each other all day or post things or discuss things about whatever. I remember when we first locked down in Toronto, those first like 72 hours, I swear all of us were just on that chat group all day. It was like ridiculous. It was hilarious. So it's there's that part. The communal friendship aspect.
Yeah.
So you keep in touch with people.
Yeah, we have a chat group as well. At least not with like everybody, but like with a pretty big group of friends that we see each other, the ones that we train with in the same classes and things like that. And we
share
information and talk. And it's not the same, but it's nice to keep in touch with everybody. Mm-hmm. And we see each other with the Zoom classes. Like we can actually see each other in their homes and things like that. But yeah, I think it's going to be mentally, it's going to be good for the soul just to get back to see everybody. It's like, you know, it's a part of your family that's missing. And it'll be nice to kind of, and it'll be the same thing when the church is open. Like I know for you, the churches are already open and I told you, you're already seeing some of those people that you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. And here, like, you know, I miss my people. I see some of them once in a while, but the majority of my people, you know, when you're used to seeing 300 of them every Sunday, you know, you miss them. So it's, I think that's going to be good for the soul for everybody. Like when things start opening up again, people can actually see each other again. So let's hope that happens sooner than later.
I think it's important. Remember the book one of your books we used in your class this past semester is Daniel Hinshaw.
Yes.
He also has a book. I haven't bought it, but I was in, if you sign up to St. Vlad's emails every Friday, they send like a suggested book or whatever they do for St. Vladimir's Press. And so they had one of his books a month ago. It was Daniel Hinshaw was what's it called? Something about touch. Yep. Right. All Christ. You have that book?
I have that book.
I want to get it because it's like in the context of we can't touch anyone, all these things. And it's like, well, all of Christ's miracles involve, well, not all, but most of them.
A lot of them are, yes.
Yeah, they require touch, physical sensation.
Yeah.
Right. So it's,
Yeah, it's a wonderful book. He speaks as a doctor because he's a physician and he's involved with palliative care, and he speaks about the importance of touch and how the comfort that it brings to people, and how we all need it. And this is a big problem right now because we haven't had it for a
long time. That's how you punish people in jail or people you've captured in war. You sensory deprive them. So it's like to be in this situation now is not. It's not. Normal. It's not the way our nature works.
Sure.
So yeah, it'll be good to see everyone again.
Well, let's hope it happens sooner than later.
Yep.
Well, Father, thank you very much for this episode. It's been wonderful talking to you again.
You as well.
Have fun with the clubs opening there earlier, and we'll see each other in 2 weeks for our next episode.
All right. I'll talk to you then, Father.
Take care.
Bye.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.